a guest that Donnie and I have been looking forward to talking to for a long, long, long time. But I'll bet that time doesn't seem as long to us as it does to him. Here on the Bob Steak and Chop House Hotline is 28-year-old Stars defenseman Steven Johns. He arrived in the NHL at 23 years old, was a regular with the Stars by the next year, and then he would miss 22 months of hockey. And, Steven, first of all, good morning to you, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me on. It's afternoon here, so I'll say good afternoon.
Let's go to the moment itself. The injury happens March 29th, 2018. It's a game in Minnesota against the Wild. And, Steven, the play doesn't look any different from a dozen or two dozen or three dozen types of plays like that that happen during hockey games. Tell us what happened.
I think that, you know, there was not a lot of attention drawn to the hit because, you know, I didn't go down, and I played a couple more shifts after the hit. So, you know, it's one of those things that happens in a game, and unfortunately, you know, the point of contact was my head, and I had a couple previous concussions in months prior, so it was just kind of a bad mixture of kind of every possibility you could have with it.
So, Steven, how long afterwards, like you said, you played a few more shifts, and a great article, by the way, in The Athletic. So you play a couple of more shifts, and then you're in the locker room afterwards, and is that when you started saying, oh, my gosh, something is really, really wrong? This is different.
Yeah, I think there was, you know, 10 or 9 minutes left in the first period when the hit happened. And, you know, in between my shifts, I was sitting on the bench and kind of watching the play go by, and it just seemed like it was in fast forward, and I just couldn't keep up with the play. And when we went in the locker room for the first intermission, I was kind of sitting there debating whether or not to pull myself. And, you know, I didn't feel my best, and I decided to pull myself and talk to the trainers and told them about the hit, because, you know, no one really saw the hit because it looked like just another play. And, you know, I thought I was pulling myself out to be safe and only miss, you know, a minimal amount of time. But, you know, I don't even want to imagine what would have happened if I, you know, went back in and took another hit. So I'm glad I did that for sure.
Steven, hockey is full of tough guys. You've got to be a tough guy to just play that sport. Do you debate whether or not to pull yourself simply because hockey is a tough guy sport?
Yeah, I mean, there's the attitude in our sport that, you know, just because you're injured doesn't mean you can play. It's, you know, you want to play through an injury to support your teammates and to do anything you can in order to help the team win. And, you know, you take a lot of pride in playing games and racking up, you know, consecutive games played. And it's a huge honor to get to lace up the skates any day in the National Hockey League. And, you know, the last thing you want to do is not play. So it's definitely a tough call. But, you know, given the circumstance and the, you know, the issues behind concussions, I thought it was the proper move to make for sure.
Steven Johns of the Dallas Stars joining us here on the Normandy Invasion. Steven, so you pull yourself out of the game and thinking, okay, you're diagnosed with a concussion. You've had concussions before, so you're thinking the, you know, proper amount of time before you can get back on the ice or back practicing or things like that. When did the frustration start setting in with you, and when did that frustration started turning into something a whole lot deeper than that for you?
You know, about a week or two before training camp was about to start, you know, my headaches were just getting worse and worse every day, especially with the training getting more intense day by day. You know, you want to kind of slowly progress into training camp so you're not injuring yourself and taking the time your body needs. And it was about 2 weeks before training camp, I walked into Jim Neal's office and asked if I could go see a specialist because I was still having, you know, side effects from the concussion. And from there, you know, my headaches were ranging from the scale of 1 to 10. pain standpoint, it was, you know, ranging from a 7 to a 10 every day, every second of every day. And I needed to get help, and that was pretty much the beginning of my journey, because I made it through, I think, 2 practices at training camp before we kind of shut it down for a bit there.
Steven, Donnie and I have talked to experts on concussions. This has been a subject we've had several guests on years and years before that. I talked to an Atlanta Falcons quarterback named Chris Miller, who had terrible concussion in the National Football League. One of his symptoms was he had terrible loss of memory. Did you have that at times?
No, I mean, unfortunately, I do remember all of the 22 months that, you know, I endured. And, you know, I have throughout my process and throughout my days, I don't know if it's from the concussions or just from overthinking too much. You know, there might be some memory loss, but, you know, I think if anybody gets hit in their head a couple times, they're going to have some type of memory loss.
And I can in reading this article, Steven, I can understand how the frustration grows and turns into something bigger, because you're going to see these specialists and doctors, and they're basically telling you the same thing, and you're not getting better. And it's like, okay, if that's the one thing I have control of is trying to get help, and there's no help in sight, then what else can I do? So you had to lean on a lot of different people to try to get you through this and to try to get yourself better.
Yeah. You know, I kind of joke sometimes, though, spending about 10 hours a week in waiting rooms, seeing different doctors and different specialists. And I think I went to a total of, you know, 6 neurologists, and, you know, I had to sit down and tell them my whole story from start to beginning. And I think telling people over and over again, your entire life, your entire process, what makes you as a person, you know, it's so mentally draining. And to not really see any progression from any of the rehabs I was trying, it was, I just kept getting kicked down every day, it felt like, and it was harder and harder to get back up. So, it was tough.
Steven, for a young man in his mid-20s to go 22 months without playing the sport he was just emerging in as a star player, I was going to ask, what was the low moment? I guess I'm going to make that plural now. Can you give us a feeling for the lowest moments and what they entailed?
Oh, man. I remember I got into a cab from Dallas to go to the Mayo Clinic, and the cab driver, and this was, you know, I had just come from spending 10 days in Guelph, trying to do a stretching protocol to, you know, hopefully alleviate some of the pain. And, you know, I was supposed to land at Dallas at 8:30 PM and then hop on a plane to go to the Mayo Clinic. And the flight got canceled. So the whole night was kind of, you know, a whole debacle. And I, booked a flight for the morning, and on my way to the airport, the cab driver looked at me in the rearview mirror and he asked me what I like to do for fun. And, you know, I just started crying, you know, because for the last 6 months, I had zero amount of fun. I, you know, there was no really bright spots in any part of my life. And I think, you know, I couldn't answer that question. And that was for sure the lowest part of my life, for sure.
Donnie, if I might, let me add one question to Steven's answer here, and then you pick it up. We read the article in The Athletic. Tell us about the suicide note you constructed in your mind.
Yeah, it's tough. I'm sorry, it's...
Oh, God.
Yeah, there's no need to apologize to us. Anything, no, yeah. Sir.
Yeah, it's... I prefer, you know, not to answer that question.
Okay, Fair enough. This is Stephen Johns of the Dallas Stars with us. Now, let's get to a couple of bright spots, because this is a deep, dark story. And the story in The Athletic is very, very informative. And it's a read that's just, I'm imagining going through everything that you went through is a very powerful story. So when you started to feel better is when you started having conversations with probably someone you didn't think that would make you feel better. And that's your general manager, Jim Neal, and the interim coach they kind of cared about you as a person and not a player getting back on the ice. And that started the pick me up with you along with your girlfriend.
You know, I had an incredible support team, and, you know, going through this whole process, I really feel for the people out there who, you know, unfortunately don't have a support system they can lean on like I did. And, you know, from the beginning, Jim was incredible with me, sat me down and never once did we really talk about hockey. It was, what can we do to help you in any aspect of life? You know, he wanted to just see me walking around the rink smiling again. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't really care if I ever played hockey again. And that speaks volume to him as a person. And I think even more to him as a general manager, because, you know, I don't want to speak for any other organization, but, you know, my story could have been a lot different if I was somewhere else and, you know, someone hadn't shown me the sympathy that this organization showed me. You know, I just signed a 3-year contract, and I was supposed to be in the prime of my career, and all of a sudden that wasn't happening. And there weren't really any answers for why not, you know? And, I have so much incredibly, and like an incredible amount of respect for Jim and the Dallas Stars organization.
Yeah. Your girlfriend talked about that Steven smile and the time you were about to get on the ice in the AHL, and they had to cancel that game because of the health of the coach, and you guys get in the car and you just burst out laughing. And that's probably one of the best moments that I had in the article, and I'm pretty sure that was you going, oh my gosh, here we go again. But you finally play that game and you have a monster game, and then the first goal you score in the NHL with your parents in the crowd had to be one of the best moments of your life.
The best. You know, I told myself that I was done. You know, I had internally retired. I kind of gave up, at, you know, a lot of points on any kind of a career in hockey. And, you know, I started to see some light at the end of the tunnel, and I just chased it, I guess. You know, one day I started feeling a little bit better, and I was continuing workouts, and all of a sudden I could get through the workouts and really ramp up my cardio, and my headaches weren't getting worse. And, you know, I still had the headaches, but they weren't at a 7 or 10. They were more like a 2 or 5. And, you know, hockey became realistic again. And this was probably this past October. I mean, it was a crazy, crazy journey. That's for sure.
Do you still get headaches?
Yeah. I mean, I still have headaches, and I still have my bad days where, you know, the dark thoughts come back, but, you know, what helped me through all that time was obviously, you know, my family and my incredible girlfriend. And, you know, I have 2 nephews that are 8 and 5. And whenever I have a dark thought, that's the first thing I think of is, you know, what would they say to their friends, you know, when they're in high school and if I wasn't here anymore. So I think that we all have some type of system that we need to lean on. And, I really leaned on mine really hard, and I couldn't be more thankful for that.
That's very cool, man. That's an incredible story. And to read about your hometown and your jerseys in the rink, that's what, about 20, 21 miles outside. I know everyone there and your entire family is so proud of you and what you've accomplished. And I know they worried about you at first. There's probably no worry now, because you have climbed back the mountain back up into the NHL. And that's a I'm glad you have decided to share your story, because a lot of people will keep that information inside and they don't want to talk about it because you get really emotional. But I think your story can help out a lot of people going through that same thing. And if one person is affected by what you went through and can think positively about it, then I think that's a success.
Yeah, you know, this whole time, my whole thing was, you know, I don't really want to talk to anybody because, you know, nobody can help me. You know, I've gone to all the experts and nobody can help me. And, you know, my whole message that I want to get out to people is, you know, you have to, whatever sliver of hope that you have, you just have to hang on to it and, you know, keep fighting. You know, every doctor always told me, you know, you're not going to feel like this forever. And, you know, I truly believe them. And whatever sliver of hope you can have, you know, hold on to it and just make that hope grow throughout the day.
Is the game more precious to you now?
It's always been extremely precious. It'll definitely never be considered a job to me. You know, people always, especially in my hometown, you know, people always ask me, you know, well, is it becoming a job? You know, are you still having fun? And, you know, until the day I can't lace the skates up anymore, I'll never consider it a job, that's for sure.
How excited are you to get back on the ice with everything that's going? They have the hub cities. They're trying to figure everything out so you guys can try to crown a champion.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it wasn't the best timing for for a pandemic in my life. But,
right.
You know, I hope that we can find a way to get this thing going and do it in a safe manner and to keep everybody protected. And, you know, there's going to be some bumps in the road, but hopefully we can figure out a way to get over that and crown a champion this year, because, you know, everybody wants to play, but I think everybody wants to play in a safe environment and hope everybody around them stays safe too.
Well, Steven, we really appreciate the time, yeah, man. Thank you so much for sharing your story. And the article is in The Athletic, written by Sean Shapiro. Thank you for sharing your story. And again, like I said, hopefully if someone's going through this exact same thing, your story can help them get through that just like you fought through it.
Well, I really appreciate you guys having me on. And, you know, if you ever want to have me back on, just let me know.
Absolutely. Thank you, man. We really appreciate the time.
Oh, and wait. He's got to come back on to talk gaming with Mike Soroy, right?
Yes, of course. The when he carried Soroy in Call of Duty the one night when they had to fight together. So, yes, we'll definitely have him on. Really, really good story and a really, really good dude.